This is Bloomberg Law with June Grosso and Mark Mills.
On July 9th, Speaker of the House John Boehner explained the Republican decision to bring a lawsuit against President Barack Obama over his use of executive orders.
The Constitution makes it clear that a president's job is to faithfully execute the laws. In my view, the president has not faithfully executed the laws. And when there's conflicts like this between the legislative branch and the administrative branch, it's, in my view, our responsibility to stand up for this institution in which we serve.
But Obama has not backed down and continues to say he'll use his executive actions as long as Republicans do nothing.
As long as they're doing nothing, I'm not going to apologize for trying to do something. Boehner sued me for this. And I told him I'd rather do things with you, pass some laws. Middle-class families can't wait for Republicans in Congress to do stuff. So sue me.
The House Republicans' lawsuit alleges that Obama exceeded his constitutional authority and went around Congress in several areas, such as the extension of the health care mandate, prisoner exchanges, and immigration. It's cleared the Rules Committee with all seven Republicans in favor and all four Democrats opposed and is ready for a floor vote. The question is, can the legislative branch of government sue the executive branch? And joining us, two guests from Washington, D.C., is Kenneth Gross, a partner at Skadden, Arps, Slate, Meager & Flom, and he heads the firm's political division. And from Ann Arbor, Michigan, Professor Nicholas Bagley of the University of Michigan School of Law. Thanks both for joining us, gentlemen.
My pleasure.
Very happy to be here.
So, Ken, since you've been on so many times, I guess we'll start with you.
Okay.
And the basic question I want you both to answer is, can the legislative branch sue the executive branch? You heard John Boehner saying it's our job as part of this branch of government.
Sure, they can file a lawsuit. Anybody can file a lawsuit against somebody else. In this case, it looks like they're looking for an institutional vote since he's seeking to get a vote of the House Republicans to sue Obama, the executive branch, and they can certainly file the lawsuit. Its success is another matter, and which I'm sure we'll get into. The real legal issue here, which is a technical legal issue, is one of standing. The House of Representative Republicans have standing to sue the president? In order to do that, they have to show that as an institution, they have been personally injured. These are the very people who voted against Obamacare who are now bringing a lawsuit saying that the House of Representatives has been injured by the failure of President Obama to fully and completely implement all the provisions of Obamacare. The dispute specifically is over some of the provisions in Obamacare where the president is delaying the implementation to give small businesses an opportunity to fully comply.
Okay.
Something usually within the discretion of the executive.
All right. And Nick, what's your opinion?
No, I think it is essentially the legal question that the courts will have to deal with. I think it's safe to say that the arguments that the House has mustered to date to support its standing are thin, I think, to the point of vanishing. As an institution, it is suffering what you might think of as a political injury, and not every political dispute can or ought to see the inside of a courtroom. And that's probably so even if you fear that the president may have, in fact, exceeded his authority in delaying the employer mandate.
Would you just give the best argument that, from your point of view, the best argument that the House Republicans have made as far as this suit being able to go forward, as far as they're having standing?
So the House of Representatives believes that it has been injured in that it has been part of an institution that has crafted legislation that has established an effective date for the Affordable Care Act. When the president, in the House's view, flouted that deadline, the House believes it suffered an injury and that injury is difficult to redress otherwise. The trouble with the argument isn't so much that you can't understand it or you can't kind of wrap your head around it. The trouble is it's not the kind of injury that the courts traditionally have addressed. And it is, in fact, the kind of injury that the courts typically won't address, leaving it to the political branches to resolve among themselves.
Kenneth Gross, is the judiciary reluctant in general to get involved in squabbles between the executive and the legislative?
Yes, they are. I think they're much more amenable to a private suit if someone said, way this law is being implemented is hurting me as an individual. What we're getting closer to is a discussion here about separation of power. Each of the three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial, the judicial branch is independent. And this looks, putting even all the legal arguments aside, like a big, fat political dispute. And it looks like a sore loser situation where the legislature failed to overturn the Obamacare after it passed. And I think with those overtones, in addition to the legal arguments that Nicholas and I have been laying out here, make it very reluctant for the judicial branch to step in between this squabble.
Nick, has there been a time in history where this has been attempted before by the House, by one branch to sue the other rather than going for articles of impeachment?
Yeah, there are instances where you see something that looks a little bit like this. In one lawsuit, several members of the House of Representatives sued the executive branch. In another case, portions of Congress have sued over their failure to get responses from subpoenas. And so you can analogize to those past cases in an effort to say, look, this looks a lot like disputes that the courts have addressed before. The trouble is the courts typically don't address those disputes. And when they do, the institutional interests that are at stake are much more concrete and specific than the political disputes that are at issue here.
President Barack Obama has actually issued fewer executive orders than his recent predecessors. Obama taunted the Republicans for their plan to use taxpayer money to sue him for doing his job in Austin, Texas, saying he's issued executive orders at the lowest rate in more than 100 years.
It's not clear, you know, how it is that Republicans didn't seem to mind when President Bush took more executive actions than I did. Maybe there's some principle out there that I haven't discerned. You know, you hear some of them. Sue them. Impeach them. Really? Really? For what? You're going to sue me for doing my job?
You know, this whole talk about impeachment is coming from the president's own staff and coming from Democrats on Capitol Hill. Why? Because they're trying to rally their people to give money and to show up in this year's election. We have no plans to impeach the president.
That was House Speaker John Boehner once again fighting back the thought that has been put out there that there is a plan actually to impeach the president rather than the lawsuit. We are joined by Kenneth Gross. He is the head of the political practice at Skadden Arps, and Professor Nicholas Bagley at the University of Michigan School of Law. Ken, what has happened is that there has been talk initiated seemingly from the Democrats that this could turn into impeachment. Is there any way this could turn into impeachment, or are we looking at oranges and apples?
Yeah, I think it's oranges and apples. There's certainly has been talk about impeachment, and some of it's been on the Democratic side to sort of raise the specter of it for fundraising and other reasons. But there is certainly, the other problem is that Speaker Boehner has not had total control over his delegation. And there are many very conservative Republicans, more conservative than the leadership, that could go off in that direction. So it's not completely far-fetched. But a lawsuit's one thing. Impeachment is a very another thing.
Nick, we talked about the number of executive orders that Obama has issued and it being lower, I think the lowest since Grover Cleveland. But the type of orders he's issued may be a different matter. Could you explain if there's a difference between the type of orders he's issued and other kinds of executive orders?
Sure. Looking at the overall number may not get to the heart of the real question you want to know, which is, whether the president has, in this particular case that's the focus of the lawsuit, exceeded his constitutional authority. In the past, presidents have been, they have a lot of authority to exercise their discretion to enforce the law against the worst offenders, to husband their resources and direct them at those who they think should feel the weight of the law fall on their shoulders. Presidents traditionally have not had the discretion to delay the effective date of statutes. And so that's a fairly novel and fairly aggressive assertion of executive branch authority here. And there's a substantial argument that it exceeds the president's constitutional authority. I think, again, it's important to emphasize that even if there might be merit to the underlying question in the case, it doesn't follow that a court is the proper place to have that fight adjudicated. In fact, this is a political dispute that should be adjudicated in the public and between the political branches.
Kenneth, didn't the president make it clear, or at least people in his administration, that he was going to start using his executive powers to do things to go around Congress because there was such a deadlock he couldn't get anything done, and that he would summon up whatever presidential powers he had to advance his agenda? Is that part of the context of what's going on and might be riling up the Republicans in Congress?
Yeah, I think so, to some extent. The president is obviously frustrated with the inability to get anything through Congress, with the deadlock of the House and the Senate, for sure. And, you know, more logically done, if this Obamacare bill, the ACA, could be tinkered with legislatively, that would be the better way to go. But we're not in an environment where that is realistic. So it's true in the implementation of it, to ease some of the sharper edges of it, the president has taken this initiative. And I guess he's being criticized in the context that he's out overstepping bounds. But the problem is there is no tinkering with laws going back to this Congress. Nothing is getting through this Congress of any substance except recent passage of some veterans issues.
Kenneth, earlier in the conversation, did I detect a little note of irony in the fact that the Republicans are suing over the president for not doing something that they don't want him to do anyway, which is implement Obamacare?
You did detect that.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Detect? Did you have to detect it? It wasn't undercover, but go
well,
ahead,
it does Ken. Make it. It does make it an interesting issue for them to have chosen to be going after him for failing to execute something that they've made their mission to kill entirely. It just sort of adds to the kind of political theater to it.
Yeah, you're not enforcing this Obamacare strictly enough. That doesn't ring exactly true.
Well, it's from what I've read and from what I've seen, the numbers, the Democratic fundraising, you know, hit a record about a couple of weeks ago because of this issue, and there was a lot of email. I got some about this issue, and their polls show that most Americans, a majority, do not want this lawsuit. 41% of Americans believe House Republicans should sue the president, as opposed to 57% who believe they shouldn't. That's according to a CNN ORC poll released Friday. So politically speaking, this may have backfired. But let me ask you, Nick, as far as legally speaking, suppose they file the lawsuit, then what happens? We know about lawsuits in courts. This could go on way past his presidency.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot depends on where they file, what sort of judge they draw, how quickly they try to move the case along. I think it's safe to say that even the House of Representatives is likely to believe in its heart of hearts that this case is going nowhere fast, which is to say they may not have any incentive to put the pedal to the floor and try to get it moving along, because the end result is likely to be dismissal of the case. That, you know, it's a political lawsuit. It's playing a political role. And, you know, if it takes a while, you know, it's part of the political game.
Is that all the more reason why courts may want to stay away from it, that you see this as a political maneuver that they don't want to become a party to?
Absolutely. They see this as a food fight between the executive branch and the Congress. And, those sorts of fights are absent an injury to an individual that you can point to and say, yes, he's been hurt. These aren't the sorts of fights that courts should be hashing out. It's perfectly appropriate to have a debate about whether or not President Obama has exceeded his authority. I think it's an important debate to have. It's one that we as a public can have. We can cast our votes based on the positions that people take in that debate. But the notion that this needs to be resolved by a few life-tenured judges in black robes, I think the courts think that's not their appropriate role.
Is it possible, either of you can weigh in here, that there could be a fairly speedy decision and somebody saying, no, you don't have standing to sue, this is done?
Yes, I think so. You could bring a motion to dismiss on standing grounds, and of course, whatever decision would be appealed, presumably, if you want to keep it in play, the loser would appeal if they want to keep the litigation in play. But it is possible to get a legal determination fairly early on. When it comes to the courts, nothing happens super quickly, but yes, it doesn't have to go through a protracted process if the courts dismiss it fairly quickly.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, both for joining us today. Our guests have been Kenneth Gross, a partner at Skadden Arps. He's been in our Washington, D.C. bureau. And joining us from Ann Arbor, Michigan, Nicholas Bagley, assistant professor at the University of Michigan Law School, talking about this case, the Republicans in the House suing the president over alleged abuse of his authority. And June, we've got a little time left for a couple of stories here from BloombergLaw.com. What are you looking at?
Iraqi oil ministry persuading a U.S. judge to issue an order for the seizure of more than $100 million of oil in a tanker waiting off Galveston, Texas, claiming that it was illegally pumped from wells in Kurdistan. According to the complaint that was filed yesterday in federal court in Houston, Kurdish officials misappropriated more than 1 million barrels of oil from northern Iraq and exported them through a Turkish pipeline.
All right, the record $2 billion sale of the Los Angeles Clippers to former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer is headed toward completion without the consent of Donald Sterling, capping 3 months of controversy over the billionaire owner's racist comments. California Superior Judge Michael Levanas issued a tentative decision that Shelley Sterling has sole authority to sell the NBA franchise to Ballmer. She had removed her husband of 58 years from control of the family assets based on the findings of two doctors that he was mentally incapacitated. And this was exactly the decision, the ruling, and the outcome that was predicted by one of our guests last week. Daniel Wallach of Becker and Polyakov down in Florida called this exactly.
Give him credit where credit is due.
We certainly will. Okay. Hey, that wraps up this edition of Bloomberg Law from Bloomberg Radio. I'm Mark Mills, along with my co-host, June Grasso.
Listen to Bloomberg Law weekday afternoons at 12:30 Eastern, Saturdays at 7 a.m., 12 p.m., 5 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.